while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I'll be reading from the text Hebrews, from Hebrews chapter 10, the verses 24 and 25 given to me, but I will read from the verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, the verses 23 to 25. The scripture, I have written, highlighted some of them in red because I want us to take a good look at them, and I want us to reflect deeply into them, okay? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful. Our God is faithful. And let us consider one another. Look at the one seated next to you. Look at the one seated behind you. Consider that person. To provoke unto love and good works. I love this. This is the King James Version, by the way. To provoke unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much that more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you at this hour. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Grant us understanding into your word, Lord. And glorify Jesus in us. We thank you in your wonderful name. Amen. Many years ago, I visited a friend in Ghana. And his young sister came around and I asked her, "How are you?" And then she started rattling so many things. And the next thing I told her is, "Who cares?" She looked at me and she laughed. Few days later, I went back to visit. And she came running to me. "Uncle Richard, how are you?" The very moment I tried to say something, she shouted, "Who cares?" So the laughter went to me. It fell on me. She laughed. A lot of the times, we have issues. We have mountains that we are climbing. We have things coming our way. And you look at others and you ask yourself, do they care? Does the Lord care? Is he considering what I'm going through? Does he care? But I want to assure you that scripture is very clear in telling us that in this world we will face troubles. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 16, the verse 33, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulations. You will have troubles. You will have mountains to climb. You will have the difficulties coming your way. But be of good cheer." Not just cheer, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. The one in whom we have put our trust in has overcome the world. The challenges that we are facing, yes, they will come. But he said, be of good cheer. You are not by yourself. You are not alone. I am with you. Now we read earlier on from Hebrews chapter 10, the verses 23-25. Now the first part of Hebrews chapter 10, leading to these verses, tells us about how Jesus has paid the supreme price for our sins. How Jesus has entered into the holy place and paid the price for our sins, so that now you and I can come boldly into the throne room. The author of Hebrews mentions how the curtain has been opened wide, has been torn apart, so that you and I can walk boldly into God's presence. He tells us how we can draw near to God. He tells us how we can encourage one another. And he says that let us encourage one another with this faith. Let us have this motive in our minds to support one another. Let us stir each one up in the love and in the works of the Lord. Now I will tell you something about one of our brothers, David. David, as we have read or heard about him, this is a man who has been anointed to be king of Israel. In fact, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, that is where we find David coming into the spotlight when he fought against the giants. In David's life, he fought against so many giants. He went through so many challenges. A young man who has been anointed to be king. You know, you and I know, if you have been anointed to be king, you want to be in the palace. But he went back to be a shepherd. When he was invited into the palace, he went into the palace to play a harp. And he saw someone else sitting on the throne that he has been anointed to sit on. From a cheerful heart, from a genuine heart of service, he was attacked and he had to flee. David, when he fled, had to live in caves. He was running for his dear life out of fear of King Saul. But I want to read something to you in 1 Samuel chapter 22, the verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him, not counting the women and the children. He fled from the palace for fear of his life. And I believe one thing that David believed. He knew that whilst he was running, he knew that God would never fail him. God, who has promised, will surely let his word come to pass. The words of the Lord will not fall to the ground except it accomplishes what he has sent it for. He knew that he has been appointed, he has been anointed to be king, and he knew this will come to pass. David faced lots of giants. David had lots of enemies, but I tell you, he had one weapon. The weapon David had was he sought the face of the Lord always. He always inquired of the Lord. When we read the books, the 1 and 2 Samuel, 9 times David, it is written that David inquired of the Lord. And anytime he inquired of the Lord, he received the victory that he needed. I want to challenge you this morning to read with me 1 Samuel chapter 30. It is a long scripture, but I'll read just a little bit of it and then go further with what I have to say. 1 Samuel chapter 30. When you go home, or those who are home, read through the whole chapter and reflect on it. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burnt it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burnt with fire. And their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept, until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, have I gone past it? You see, next one, thank you. And David's two wives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and daughters. And the verse that the statement that continues, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. The King James will say, David encouraged himself in the Lord. This is the man whom in 1 Samuel chapter 22, the people who were distressed, the people who had debt, the people who were discontented came to. He accepted them. He welcomed them. The people Saul was chasing after, the people who had no hope, came to him and they made him their commander. Now they want to stone him. They wept for their losses. They wept to the point that they had no strength. But the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't know what you are going through today. I don't know the challenges you are facing in your life, at your workplace, at your schools, wherever you are, in your faith, the challenges you are facing. Today, I want to encourage you, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. The Bible says, at the end of it? Okay, so I can go to the next one. Great. I don't have the slides. Yes, I have to. Amen. Verse 7. Where are you now? Okay. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. David, in his lowest time of his life, David in his distress, David at the point of being stoned, encouraged himself in the Lord, and he inquired of the Lord. The Lord said, pursue. You will not only overtake them, but you will recover all. You see, when David obeyed these words of the Lord, the Bible tells us that when he journeyed with his men, they got to a point, some of them were like, no, we're not going any further. No, we can't do this anymore. No, we are discouraged. We are not encouraged that like you are. We won't journey further with you. But a number of them said, David, we will go with you. They followed on, and the Bible tells us that they found an Egyptian servant who was so weak, they gave him bread and water to drink and eat. When he gained his strength, they asked him, who are you? He said, I'm a servant. I'm a slave of one of the Amalekites. And they asked him, where are they? You see, this Egyptian was wise. He struck a deal with David and his men that, please, promise me by God that you will not kill me or you will not give me back to my master. And David and his men promised him, and he showed them where they were. Now, these Amalekites, what they were doing is, they were going from city to city, just destroying the land and all that, and collecting properties, the people's property, and collecting slaves. The Bible says David and his men, after 3 days, met up with them. They caught up with them, and they didn't only slaughter them, they took back everything the Amalekites stole from them. All the cities that you can think about, these Amalekites went and took properties from. It became David and his men's property. On their way back, they met the soldiers who decided, we're not going with you. They were 200. They said, we're not going with you. And those who went with David said, we will only give you your wives and your children, nothing more. But David said, no, it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. They are with us. We should share this with them. David shared it with them. Even those who didn't travel, he shared with them. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who is a great example to us, he went through difficult times. He went through the challenging times himself. And as I read earlier on from John chapter 16, verse 33, he said, we will face the challenges in this world, but we should be of good cheer. He is with us. He has overcome the world. Jesus Christ, before he died, before he went to the cross, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 22, the verses 39 to 46, tells us about how he took his disciples along with him to go and pray on Mount Olives, the Mount of Olives. Bible says, when he came to a place, he said to them, pray that you don't enter into temptation. We know the story. 3 times he went and he came back and they were sleeping. And Jesus Christ, when he withdrew and he prayed, the Bible says, an angel came and encouraged him. He said to the Lord, it's not as I will, but according to your will, let it be so. There will be the difficulties, there will be the challenges, but our God is with us. Hebrews chapter 12, the verse 2. The Bible tells us that we should look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ, for the joy that was before him, endured the cross. He despised its shame. And today, we can rejoice with him. Why? Because he is seated on the throne at the right hand of our Lord and Savior. Church, I believe some of you will know I am Ghanaian. And you know, a Ghana man will say Charlie to mean friend. A Ghana man will say Charlie when they want to tell you something very serious. I tell you, Charlie. Our Lord Jesus Christ endured. Our Lord Jesus Christ endured. And the Bible is telling us that let us keep our eyes on him. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Remember this, your theme for the year. Keeping your eyes on the Lord. Keeping your eyes on the Lord. I am treating focusing on God at my church. When you have your eyes on the Lord, church, you won't go wrong. When you have your eyes on the Lord and you are focusing on him, you won't go wrong. And the text that you have chosen for this year, Psalm 16, the verse 8, which says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. With him on my right hand, I will not be shaken. No matter how hard the devil hits, I will not be shaken. Because he is my salvation. Because he is my strength. Because he is my buckler. Church, Paul encourages us in the text that we read, our main text, Hebrews chapter 10. He said we should provoke one another. You know, that word provoke, the moment you hear it, you have to be angry. Now think about it. You come into church and I have to provoke you to love. When I come into church, I have to provoke you to do good things. I remember one of my minister friends. In church, he would tell us, turn to the one next to you. Tell the person, I love you, and you can't do anything about it. You see, tell the person with a frown on your face, I love you. You can't do anything about it. And this is what Paul, the author, is telling us, that provoke one another into love. Provoke one another into good works. Church, you know, sometimes we come into church with an attitude of, how can the church serve me? How can the church benefit me? What can I pull out from the church? What can the other person do for me when I come into church? We come in with that mindset. But I want to challenge you for this year. Being encouraged or encouraging one another. I want you to come into church with the attitude of saying, how can I be a blessing here? How can I be the one praying for someone? How can I be the one who is going to lift another person up? How can I be the one who will show love to someone else? How can I be the one who will give? Last week you heard the Ghana man will say Osofo Mame, that is Sumi. You heard her preach about give or not to give. How can I be the one who will be the vessel in God's hand to be the blessing in his house and to his people? Let that be our attitude. Paul said, do not forsake the assembling of the saints. Do not forsake, because when we come together, iron, I sharpen you, you sharpen me. When we come with the attitude that, hey, today I have to be the blessing. You also come. Hey, you have to be the blessing. We bless each other. We encourage each other. One thing that I have told my church is that I will be really, really, really bored if I find myself alone in heaven. Won't you be bored being there alone and you can't see Pastor Deji? Won't you be bored being there and not seeing Anne? Who doesn't want to be corrected? She will say Sri Lanka the way she wants. See you laughing. I will be so encouraged to see everyone. And I will do my best to help you to enter into heaven. I will do my best to see every one of you in heaven. And I want you to do the same for me. That is why Paul will say, do not forsake the assembling of the saints. As others are doing, as others have made their minds to do, Do not forsake coming into church to say, I will be the blessing. Last night, someone came into my church, a stranger. Someone told him to come. We were having a rehearsal. He came in, not knowing he knows the church I attend in Ghana. And we have a slogan, a way of greeting one another, a way of encouraging one another. And I'll tell you the truth. That slogan has done me a lot of good. And he saw, when he asked me, which church did you attend in Ghana? And I told him, he just greeted me with that greeting. And that greeting is, when I meet you, when I meet Pastor Deji, I will say to Pastor Deji, press on. And Pastor Deji will respond to victory. And then he will tell me, victory? And I will say, in Jesus. I will say, I'll be person one, you will be person two. Press on. Oh, that's so weak. Press on.
Victory
in
Jesus.
So if you have been greeted this way, you are going through the challenges, and you hear a brother or sister tell you, my brother, press on. This is not the time to give up. Press on. This is not the time to throw in the towel. Press on. The victory has already been won for you. Press on. You are not a loser. Press on. Ah, you are more than a conqueror. Press on. Where are you pressing on to? To the victory that has been won for me. And who gives out that victory? Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. If we have this faith in him, let us not give up. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Never give up.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.